Okay, welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Bill Paravano, and this is where we go over, this podcast series goes over different topics and challenges individuals have with chronic knee pain. And this is episode 4, and I titled this one, The Inner Game of Knee Pain. And the idea is knee pain affects more than just your knees. It affects your mind, your body, your emotions. They're all affected by the experience of chronic knee pain. And if you just look at what's going on with the knees and you don't take into consideration the other factors that are contributing to the knee pain, it can kind of lead you right back to where you were before. And it's important to look at the entirety of all of these things that are affecting you and what's going on in your knees in order to comprehensively get over what's going on with the knee pain. So what we're going to do is this week's episode, we're going to go over the mentality people get into as a result of the experience of knee pain and kind of what you can do, some tools and tricks that you can use to zoom out a little bit to get that understanding of the bigger picture so you know you're going in the right direction. And that's really, really important. So I'm going to give my standard disclaimer. This is none of the information that I'm going to pass along here is to be construed as medical advice. This is information that has helped both myself and countless other individuals with chronic knee pain over the past 10 years. This is good stuff. I've seen it work. Of course, once again, if you have any questions with this information, if something doesn't feel right or jive with your belief system, with what you're doing right now, then, of course, consult your licensed healthcare professional. However, what I have found is when information is proposed, when new information is proposed, I find it really good to be open. The terminology that I've heard in the past is empty your cup, meaning if you have a cup half full of dirty water and then you fill it with clean water, fill the rest of the cup with clean water, then you have a full cup of dirty water. Whereas if you empty your cup, if you pour that dirty water out and then fill your cup with clean water, then you're going to have a full cup of clean water. And that's not to disregard what you've learned to this point, what you know to this point. What it is just saying put it on the shelf for a while. For the next hour or so, just be open to the information that I'll share with you here. And at the end of that period of time, then you could bounce it off your experiences and what you know and incorporate what works, what makes sense for you, and disregard the rest. And that's what I found is really important over the past 10 years, what has worked for me. There were lots of things that when I first heard it, I was like, there is no way I am going to be able to do that, or that doesn't make sense for me. Like one of the things in my ebook, I talk about walking on your knees and the values and benefits of that. And when I first saw that, I was like, I just had knee surgery. I had my knee cut flat open and they filleted the tendon, the patella tendon in the knee to reconstruct that ligament. And there was just no way that that was going to happen. However, as I began to like look at what was going on with my knee and it wasn't working, what I've been doing wasn't working, and then trying it a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more, all of a sudden flexibility started to increase and all other benefits started to happen as a result of me incorporating these principles that I had initially thought there was no way I could do. So anyhow, let's get on to the feeling of having knee pain. And flat out, chronic knee pain just absolutely sucks. It can be overwhelming. You feel like you're trapped. It's like everywhere you go, everywhere you turn, that it feels like the knee is about the size of a beach ball. And you're afraid to turn, you're afraid to twist, you're afraid to step. And that just, it's always in the back of your mind. There's always this place of going, ah, man, I don't want to take another trip to the kitchen. So let's see if I can coordinate everything all at once so I can minimize the trips that I take. And we get into this fear pattern. The glass is half empty, so to speak. There is no positive outlook in that experience of the knee pain. There's no options. Because what you're hearing from everybody is you either got to take a pill, whether it be a prescription drug or otherwise. There's the suggestion of shots, painkilling shots to reestablish the fluid in the joints, because they're saying the knee is drying out or there's not enough space between the bones in the joint. And there's really not a whole lot you can do. A lot of the doctors out there are suggesting, well, this is what you got. We can give you the prescription drugs. We can put an injection in the knee to try to numb the pain, cortisone shot, or otherwise, and now you're in a holding pattern until you get old enough so you can have surgery, knee replacement surgery. And one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of the disclaimer, all of this is, of course, this information is valid if nothing is broken or torn in your knee. It's very important that if something is broken or torn, or you're having knee issues, go to your doctor, get it checked out. Make sure they take a look at it. They do the x-ray, the CT scan, the MRI, whatever needs to be done to rule out the fact that you have physical damage to your knee, meaning something is broken or torn. Because we want to start with a solid foundation, meaning we want to work with your body with the fact that everything is in proper order. Because if something is broken or torn, then that needs to be fixed, and then we can begin working. Then we can begin looking towards getting you pain-free. One of the common misconceptions that I've seen is that surgery doesn't equal that you're out of knee pain. Surgery just means that what is broken or torn has been fixed. And that was a situation I was in. I had dislocated my left knee 4 times, and I had severe pain. And I was, to be honest, I was in that place of, I was scared to go to the doctor. I didn't want them to tell me something was torn. I didn't want them to go, you're going to need surgery. So there I was. I dislocated my knee the first time. It popped. I fell. I was skiing the first time, going down the hill, and I kind of did the splits and fell on my face, and the knee popped, and I felt like almost passing out, waves of nausea, thinking that I was just doing what I could just to stay conscious and to not vomit all over the slopes. And I had the issue where my knee was locking up, and I ignored it. It was like, okay, it'll go away. If I close my eyes, I did the whole ostrich thing. Stick my head in the sand and pretend it's going to go away. And then I did it again in judo. I was fighting on the ground with some guy, and he wrapped my leg, and the knee popped again, and I had excruciating pain. And once again, I ignored it. It was like, oh, it'll heal. It'll get better. And it didn't. I'd be walking around the house and it would lock up. I would do some kind of weird, funky move and my knee would lock up. And I was hesitant to take a step. I was hesitant to do anything, yet I didn't go to the doctor. And then I was playing volleyball. Same thing happened. Knee locked up, felt a pop, and had lots of pain. I continued to ignore all the signs that if I would have went to the doctor to begin with, and I would have understood what was going on with my knee, I could have allowed my knee to heal. Even though it was a ligament issue, given enough time, given an adequate amount of time, a ligament will heal. Cartilage will heal as long as there's not more than a 25% tear in the meniscus. So I ignored that, and finally, the fourth time, I was playing softball and fielded a ground ball and went to throw the first base and followed through with it, and next thing I know, it popped for the last time. I was on the ground grabbing my knee, and, the rest is history. I ended up in the doctor's, and he said, ligament's completely torn. You don't need to have surgery. However, if you want to do anything athletic, it would probably be a good idea. So I had the surgery. So it's like there's this fear that overwhelms this, I don't know how to describe it other than just this overwhelming, you don't want to do anything with the knee. It's just going to get worse. So, of course, the surgery went great. The doctor did great. The physical therapist did great. But I still had pain. I still had issues with tension and discomfort in the rest of my body. And that is just a very frustrating place to be, a stuck place to be where you don't know if you're injuring your knee more or you're making it better or you're making it worse, and you feel like you're walking on stilts and it's jarring your ankles and your knees and your hips and your back. Everything is tight. You don't sleep well. It's difficult. You feel irritated at people. All of these factors are going into your experience of knee pain. And it seems like there is no options. The doctor can't do any more from a surgery standpoint. The options that you're looking at are the prescription drugs. You're looking at the shots. And that, of course, isn't necessarily what you want, because those two are just putting a Band-Aid over the top of it. So what is really important is to get a bird's eye view, to understand the bigger picture of what's happening in your body. And looking at from a fundamental level, what is pain? What is going on when you're experiencing pain? From a basic level, you have your nervous system. Your nervous system meaning like when you go to the doctors, when you get a checkup and the doctor taps your knee with the rubber mallet or the rubber hammer to check your reflexes, they're checking your nervous system. They're checking your nervous system to make sure it's firing properly. And when the nervous system is like an electrical system throughout your entire structure. And when they tap your knee with the hammer, they're checking to see that that electrical system is functioning properly. And this is nothing woo-woo or out there. This is, you know, if you come into an emergency room and that you don't have a heartbeat, and they're doing trying to resuscitation techniques, they'll put those pads, they'll rub those pads together and put it on your chest to shock you back to life. Well, that machine that they're shocking you back to life with is plugged into the wall, supplied with electricity. So your nervous system is an electrical circuit that's going throughout your entire structure. And it corresponds with your brain. So these circuits go throughout your body and come back to your brain, giving you signals of whether you're feeling hot or whether you're feeling cold or whether you're feeling hungry. This is all the input that your nervous system is giving you. So when you experience pain, what's happening is there's something in your body that's not right. This is something that's going on. A nerve somewhere is being interfered with, some way, somehow, that's sending the signal back to your brain that you have pain in your knee. This is a basic fundamental understanding of human physiology or how your body works. So when you have knee pain after surgery, or like you said, you go into the doctor and you have it checked out and they say everything's fine, there is something being interfered with, some nerve that is going, ow, that hurts. Something isn't cool. Something isn't right. So I need the relief from that nerve. Well, what do? We live in a society that is go, 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 lots of fast food, no pain, no gain. You see it in advertisements like for Nike, just do it. All of these things in society that just ignore what's going on and push forward. You don't have time to deal with what's going on. You don't have time to rest. You don't have time to take a break because you got to get to, you name it, work, school, your family needs you, your parents need you, your spouse needs you, your children need you, whatever it is. We don't have time to slow down. So this creates stress in our bodies. And of course, when our body experiences stress, the understanding of stress is that it causes the body to squeeze closer together. Well, when the body begins to squeeze closer together, that means there's less space for those nerves, for that electrical impulse to go around your body from your brain. And depending on external stresses, let's say you trip, or you get into a car accident or something where you hit your knee, you twist your knee, something else happens, now your body tenses up to protect itself. And that's your body's natural reaction to protect itself from getting injured further. Well, that's a functional pattern for the car accident, for twisting your knee, for tripping, for smacking your knee, whatever it is. It's dysfunctional for you to go back into your life without the discomfort, without the pain, without your nervous system sending that signal to your brain that you got something going on with your knees. And then to compound it further, we live in that society, that fast-paced society, that it's like, fix it now, just ignore it, take care of it yesterday. Everything is fast-paced, so the stress and tension builds up in our bodies, which causes our bodies to squeeze tighter together, causing our blood pressure to increase, causing our heart rate to increase, causing adrenaline to be produced by our adrenal glands. All of those factors continue to contribute to that squeezing effect that's going on in your knees. So you know what this feels like. You know how this goes. Now it's like, oh, the knee's in more pain. The knee's squeezing more. The knee's getting worse. I go to the doctor, and the doctor's saying there's nothing visible on the x-ray, on the CT scan, on the MRI, and most of the time, they're absolutely right. There is nothing visible. There's nothing that you can see. From an anatomical perspective, there's nothing wrong. Yet from a nervous system perspective, from how you feel, how your body feels, how your knee feels, there is something wrong. You know best. Your body knows best. That's the ultimate barometer as to what's going on with you, is your body, is your nervous system. It knows what's happening most of the time, as long as we're in touch and aware with what's going on with your nervous system. So when we ignore these things, when we ignore the pain, when we push through it, when we don't take time, when we don't slow down, what ends up happening is this compounds the issue. So it gets to be like the hamster on the wheel. It gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And every once in a while, you may wake up, and it's like, oh, my knee doesn't feel so bad. And then something happens to trigger that whole cycle again, and then the knee pain gets worse. So what happens is, now it's like we not only have this nervous system thing going on, we start having physiological issues as well. This ties in, like I said before, with our adrenals. When our body's under stress, it produces adrenaline, which causes us to be in a hyper state of awareness. That the idea or the function that the nervous system is supposed to be there for, or when this happens, is it way back when, in prehistoric times, there was a threat to us, it stopped blood flow to certain areas of the body to make sure we could run away from that threat, that we could run away from, you know, the bear or the tiger, whatever the case was. Now we have this heightened state, this heightened stress level that creates this tension in our nervous system, and there isn't that big threat. Now it's the stress level starts increasing, and it keeps the pressure is constant. Prehistoric times, there was a big threat, we ran away from it, and then our body calmed down, and then it shook off that tension. Well, now, because the tension and stress is constant, because of society, because of our lifestyles and things like that, this stress stays at a heightened level. It doesn't allow our bodies to back off. So keeps your adrenals functioning at this heightened state of awareness. It keeps your heart rate high. It keeps the restriction in your blood vessels in your body, in your arteries, in your veins tight. It causes you, when we're in this hyper state of awareness, which is the fight, flight, or freeze, it's going to be difficult to sleep. It's going to be difficult to digest food, because when you need to run away from the wild animal, you don't need to eat. You need to get out of there. You don't need to sleep. You need to protect yourself. You don't need to do any of that stuff except be in hyper alert aware mode. So this is, once again, functional for that injury, that tension pattern that the body took on to protect you from getting injured further. It's dysfunctional for your body to begin healing what's going on in your knee. So the idea is to begin to reverse this process and understanding that this is what your body is designed to do, this functional protecting of your knee to keep you safe. Understanding that is half the battle. Then you know, oh, my body's doing that. This is how it's supposed to go. This is how it's supposed to function. And in that way, by looking at it from this bird's eye view, by zooming out and going, huh, okay, I'm irritated again because I haven't got a lot of sleep. I haven't got a lot of sleep because my nervous system is amped up. And my nervous system is amped up is because this tension and stress, this pattern is going on. I have the stress, it creates tension in my body, and which causes my body to feel more stress and more tension, and there's less space for my nerves, so my body gets more stressed and tension. So it's this downward spiral where your body begins to fight itself. And we got this bird's eye view. Now we can understand that bigger picture. We can understand that this is your body keeping you and protecting you from further injury. However, it's not functional for you to get over what's going on with your knee pain. So we can begin to take steps to reprogram our body, to reprogram the way it functions, to begin to create space in your knee so it isn't squeezing on the nerves, to begin to support yourself, to listen to what the body is saying and what it needs, and begin to nurture it so it has the ability to heal itself. Your body has the infinite capacity to heal what it has going on with your knees. It just needs to be given the conditions to do so. And what's going on in your head is a big piece, is a huge piece in doing it. And what I've seen is that clients that I've worked with, they have that knee pain. And you've seen it. You know, you've seen it where someone is going through a difficult, stressful time, and they'll do things that make the situation worse. It's a little masochistic, self-abusive, where it's like the knee hurts, however, they'll go out drinking. They'll eat foods that are not good for their body. They'll continue to try to push and play sports or do those things. The exercise, people who are into exercise, it's like, well, I just need to go out and run. I just need to go out and do something. And absolutely, you may need to go out, need to go and do something. You just need to go and do something that's nurturing and supportive of where your body's at right now. You may want to have something to drink, yet don't have 6 or 8 or 10 beers. You may want to have something sweet to eat, but you don't need to have a half a package of cookies. So we can do things to support ourselves in this process, because when you eat the half a package of cookies or you drink that beer, now you're tapping in and making it more difficult for your body to heal what's going on. Your body needs the proper fuel to heal the damaged cells in your knees. And if you're pouring in lots of sugar, that's going to make it very difficult for your body to do so. If you're drinking lots of alcohol, then what's happening is you're making it difficult for your body to clean out itself. Now you're putting in more pollution on top of it. In addition, there's a whole water component, a dehydration thing that happens when you drink alcohol. So now when your body's dehydrated, that makes it more difficult for the water that your knee needs to keep it properly hydrated. When you go out and your knee is starting to feel better, and then you go out and run 5 miles, 10 miles, or exercise in a way that causes it to hurt more, well, then any momentum your body had to begin to heal itself is now erased. So let's start replacing those dysfunctional habits with some more functional habits. Something that begins to make your knee feel better. The big piece is that what are we focusing on? If we're focusing on pain, then what happens? It expands. Just like if you want to do really well in a job, or you want to do well in a relationship, you need to put time, energy, and effort into that relationship, into that job, doing the things or creating the conditions that will allow you to be successful in that job and successful in that relationship. And the same thing you want to do with your knees. You want to do the things that create the conditions to make you being out of knee pain inevitable. You want to incorporate positive habits. Positive habits that create comfort in your structure, comfort in your body. Things that you're doing that are going to support your body's healing process, that creates the conditions for your body to heal what's going on in your knees. So if you continue to have knee pain, then all we need to do is begin to change those variables. I think of it like the combination to a safe. You know, you turn the safe two turns to 22 to the right, and then three turns to the left to 37, and then one turn to the right to 15. And if you get one of those numbers off, even just a little bit, then that safe isn't going to open. However, if you get all of those numbers exactly right and you turn that handle, the safe opens. Very same thing when you're trying to get over knee pain. So you got to get everything lined up, everything proper, so your knee can begin to heal itself. And a big part of that is that mental state. What are we doing, and why are we doing it? Are we doing it because we're trying to get over the knee pain? Are we doing it to create the conditions so our knee will heal? Or are we doing it because we think we should? Because of what someone else will think of us, of not being tough or strong? Or are we doing it just for that short-term pleasure of that the bag of cookies or the alcohol, knowing the long-term that it's not going to change the situation that we're in? So let me give you an analogy, and this is – I have a mentor. His name is Eben Pagan, and he's a business mentor. And he gave this incredible analogy about forming positive habits. And what he said, he was talking about the space shuttle. And when the space shuttle takes off in Florida, it has, you know, the main part of the space shuttle, and then it has two of the booster rockets. And when the space shuttle first takes off, it needs all of this fuel, all of this rocket fuel and pressure to begin to get the space shuttle to overcome gravity. And it takes like 80% of all the fuel that the space shuttle will use in the duration of the trip in that first few minutes of liftoff. And once the space shuttle finally gets that altitude, you can see as it's lifting off, lifting off, lifting off, it's using all this fuel and all this energy and all this effort. And then when it finally starts to get up to speed and it starts going parallel with the Earth, so it's spinning around the Earth, it takes very little energy and effort to maintain that momentum around the world or around the globe. And this is very much the same way when we're dealing with knee pain. There's like that initial thing, when you first start, let's say you want to change your diet. There's that initial place of that it's really, really difficult to discipline yourself to eat what's right. And it's usually within that first 20 to 30 days, which is that space when the space shuttle was lifting off. And as you're coming and beginning to form a habit, a positive habit, that's creating the conditions so you get over your knee pain, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very challenging. It's going to be hard. However, if we know this picture, if we get this understanding of, well, this is what my brain is doing. It's like it knows that if I eat the salad and if I know I eat a healthy piece of meat, that this is going to be good fuel for my knee. This is going to allow my knee to heal what's going on. However, if it's like, oh, well, I want to have that piece of cake, that is the body overcoming that inertia of implementing those positive habits. So when we could zoom out and go, oh, that's what's happening. That's my body's tricking me. It's doing that thing again to try to pull me back and keep me safe from changing. Then I know, having that bird's eye view of the habits that my body has gotten into will allow me to understand and get that bigger picture of what is happening. It's actually quite simple. Getting over knee pain is actually quite simple. There are pretty much five factors, and I just briefed on the food piece, the food part of it, where the bigger picture, and I allude to it, or I talk about it in my D-BEST model, D like in dog, best. And the first part of it is drink the proper amount of water. You got to make sure your body's properly hydrated to clean out and flush out the damaged or dead cells and the waste products that are created by just you being alive. So as you do that, as you make sure your body's properly hydrated, then it's able to flush itself out and keep itself, all the organs functioning properly, everything that it's supposed to do so it can begin to heal what's going on in your knees. The next piece is breathing. D-BEST, B-E-S-T. The B is for breathing, and proper breathing, which is in through your nose and out through your mouth. And when you begin to actively breathe, properly breathe, you begin to override that nervous system's response to tense up and squeeze on those nerves. That causes the impingement of those nerves, sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. The third is eating, and that's proper food. And what you're looking at, you want to look at a diet that is going to give your body the proper fuel it needs so it can heal what's going on in your knees. I use the example of a race car. If you don't have if you put you have a race car that has needs really high octane fuel, so it'll have ideal performance. However, if you let's say you put in diesel fuel in that car, it's not going to have the proper fuel it needs, and the performance isn't going to be as good in that car, to the point of you can possibly even damage the car. And consequently, that's what happens when we don't eat proper food. The S in the D-Best model is stretching, and that's the proper stretching, the dynamic stretching, so your body feels normal and loose and free, so it doesn't feel restricted in how it moves, so you don't have that hesitation in how you move. Because when the body is tight in a certain way, it's restricted. It doesn't feel free, and these tension patterns are going on that are causing the body to move that way. And then the last is training. D-BEST, the T is for training, and that's training the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint itself. So important to understand this concept, that if you don't get the joint strong, which is where you're having the issue, then many times that issue doesn't go away. And these are all factors that go in to creating the conditions so your body will heal itself. So it makes it inevitable so your body will heal itself. So what we're doing is we have this higher self which knows these things, and then we have that little inner voice that's like, well, eat the cake, or go out for that jog, or go to the gym, or just go out to the bars with your buddies, or whatever the case is. And what ends up happening is we end up sabotaging ourselves. We start out following these principles, following these concepts, following these ideas, and then all of a sudden something will come up and it'll trip us up. And that's part of what his name is Seth Godin, and he's phenomenal in terms of understanding human psychology in a way that I have found it to be very profound. And one of the terms he uses, it's called the lizard brain. And this is where that very reptilian part of ourselves that is just about keeping us safe, that keeps things from changing. And whenever we start to do things that begin to change those patterns that have been set, that we've established for one reason or another, and we start to change those patterns, the lizard brain goes, nope, stop, we got to keep things the same. And that lizard brain will create situations, will create things both within us and outside of us that cause us to go back into those old patterns. Meaning, as I've worked with clients one-on-one, coaching them, and I had one client that I was absolutely shocked until I realized it was the lizard brain doing this, that they began, I gave them the simple exercises, simple things to do that was going to get them over, start them on that road to get over their knee pain. And they weren't 3 or 4 days into the program when they contacted me and they were like, it's not working. I was like, but it's only been 3 or 4 days. They're like, your program doesn't work. And I was like, for me, it's like, this has been a journey, not a destination, that there's a continual process of evolvement and understanding what's going on in my body in order to know what to do when something goes wrong. So how can, from a rational level, looking at 3 or 4 days worth of time, energy, and effort, someone really know whether something's working or not? Until I read Seth Godin, and when he talked about the lizard brain, and for those that are interested in that type of book, check out Lynchpin. It's a phenomenal book. And he gets into the talking about the lizard brain and how this works and how it's designed to keep us safe and keep us from changing, even though it may keep us in a place of pain. So when I understood this lizard brain part of it, when my client had that response, it made total sense. And it was one of those things we kind of want to head it off at the pass. We want to know that my brain's going to function this way. It's going to throw up things that are going to create obstacles for me that's going to prevent me from getting over my knee pain. It's going to do things. It's going to have, inevitably, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas are going to come around. Or there's going to be that birthday party or whatever it is where they have the ice cream and the cake. Or you're going to go out to dinner and there's going to be that dessert menu that comes around. There's going to be those things that, you know, if I eat this, this is going to throw me back to where I was before. You know you're going to have your old buddies giving you a call and say, hey, you know, come on, let's go play a game of basketball. Don't worry, push through it. Your knee will be fine. Or soccer or whatever it is. And you know that there hasn't been enough time for your knee to begin to heal. And this is when you go and you play that pickup game of basketball when your knee's not ready, that's the lizard brain going, go do it. Because you know it's going to put you back to where you were. And when you eat that cake, and when you don't drink the water, and when you don't do those things that are creating the conditions to make your knee pain go away, to make you being knee pain free inevitable, that's your lizard brain. That's what's going on. It's doing those things to keep you from changing. It's going to come up as fear. It's going to come up as doubt. It's going to come up as, oh, this just isn't working. And the funny part is when you really look at it and you take a moment to think about it, your life wasn't working the way it was before. There was some problem going on that caused the knee to begin with. For me, it was judo. Judo was real abusive on my body as well as on other people's bodies. And it got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't keep up that pace. My body was not going to handle that anymore. And I hung on, literally, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it, it was probably 6 years after my surgery that I finally let go of judo, that I finally said, the discomfort and pain that I'm experiencing when I go to judo is not worth it. And when I finally let that go, things really started to change. Things really started to get better. However, it's a terrifying place to be because we don't know where that leads. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of apprehension. Sometimes it means leaving groups of people that we've known for a long period of time. For instance, most of the people that I knew were in judo circles. Friends that I knew from judo. People that I hung around with. People that I spent time with. And now, if I'm not continuing to go to practice and do those things, then I need to find new friends. I need to find other people who are going to be more supporting of what I have going on, that aren't going to give me that peer pressure, that are going to be like, oh, well, Bill just needs to take a little time right now. No big deal. And that is a really scary place to be, because you haven't met those people yet. You haven't done those things before. It's new territory. You're treading where you've never tread before. You're cutting that path through the jungle where you've never, there is no trail. So you don't know where you're going. You aren't really sure how you're going to get there. And you want to fall into those old patterns. This is all your lizard brain. This is all of that designed to keep you safe, to keep you from changing. And once again, going back to that space shuttle analogy, by knowing this, by understanding this, and by taking one day at a time and just focusing on the fact that, oh, this is, I started this new habit. I'm going to drink that glass of water the first thing when I get up, and that's going to be this positive habit. And I'm going to do everything I can to fill that glass of water up the night before and put it by my nightstand. So that's the first thing I do, first thing in the morning, because I know that when I have enough water, that my knees are going to get the hydration that they need to create the condition so I'm out of knee pain. And things will happen. You'll get that, oh, I forgot to get that glass out and set it up. That's your lizard brain. It's one of those things, oh, I don't feel like drinking water. That's your lizard brain. All of those things, all of those factors that prevent you from doing that is going to be your lizard brain, and all we need to do is hang on to that habit for 20 to 30 days and just form new habits every 20 to 30 days, and then in a matter of a few months, you're going to see huge changes. You're going to see those positive effects start taking place. And they're really going to stick. And those changes are going to be permanent. And that's the beauty of it. So when you find those positive habits and you stick with those positive habits, and even if you slip up for a day, it's like, oh, okay, lizard brain, got it. I'm going to go back and get that water. Drink the water now, and then make sure I have that glass ready on my nightstand first thing in the morning. And we keep doing those things day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, doing those things that are nurturing, supportive, creating the conditions to make knee pain, being out of knee pain inevitable. It's going to happen. There's no other choice. The body can't do anything except that. So I hope this podcast has been insightful and enlightening for you, giving you a better perspective on how you can approach your knee pain and what you can begin to do as far as that mental, that inner game. There are a few more things that I can give you that'll point you in another direction or in the right direction. And the first thing I would suggest is go to my website and download my free knee pain report. And you can go to freekneepainreport.com and just enter your first name and email address. And a report will be sent right to your inbox. You put in a valid email address and I'll send it right to you. And what it is it goes over those 5 points that I was talking about before of my D-BEST model, the water, the breathing, the proper food, the stretching, the dynamic stretching, and the training the tendons and ligaments in the joint itself. And that free report will go into more details on that. Right after, you can also I have an ebook out there. It's called Stop Your Knee Pain Now, and it gets into the details on strengthening the tendons and ligaments in your knee joint. That's something you can also take advantage of. And right now, if you go and get my free report, the first month to my or you get my ebook, Stop Your Knee Pain Now, I'm offering for a short time, a free month to my virtual clinic. And that is, I go into a lot more depth on those five areas: the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And you go get the free report, all the information's in there. You get my ebook, and with the purchase of every ebook, you get a free month to my virtual clinic. And I have videos and audios and documents in there that'll help you track your progress. Videos that show you how to stretch, the dynamic stretching. I even have some stuff that shows you how to specifically put your knee in a position of comfort to allow your body to heal itself. It's phenomenal stuff, phenomenal content. Of course, I might be a little biased because it's mine. However, that's okay. Judge for yourself. If it's beneficial, that's wonderful. And if it doesn't work for you, that's okay too. I would love for you to send me an email and let me know your thoughts. You can send that to bill@thekneepainguru.com. So that is all for today. I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and take care and be well.